to draw closer to Thee. Help us to have more love to Thee, for Thee. And Lord, I do pray You'd help us as we open up Your blessed book, that we will love Your book more and hence love You more. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I don't usually give announcements on Thursdays, but Saturday night, we're going to plan on going down to Purdue for street preaching. They started school on Monday, so this is the time of year, generally speaking, that they're more receptive, I guess you could say, to the tracks and things like that. Mainly because it's the new kids on the block. And so the old, narrow-minded, hard bigots, they're still walking around, but they're not as prevalent as the freshmen. And so leave at the Rensselaer Church at 6:30 if anybody's able to do that. Then Sunday we got the picnic at our house, and the 60th anniversary celebration for Mom and Dad. And anything else? I can't think of anything else. Oh, the play. That's what it was. Okay, we're going to have the play on Sunday night down at Rensselaer at 6 o'clock. So it'll be, this is the last time for that play. It's about an hour long. It's the play that they've been taking in the prisons and have seen some wonderful fruit with that. And so she's wrapping up the play for this year. This year's play is going to be about the King James Bible. It's history, and Wycliffe, Tyndale, and then King James. And so it should be very Christ-honoring and God-honoring play, as all of them we try to do that way. Okay, I'm going to have Lyle give like an update what's going on in China, and then a possibility of working to get a Chinese Bible, more faithful Bible. And so come on up.
Okay, it's always good to be home with family and church family, and we appreciate the ministry of the church here, and we know many of you. I do see some new faces, and I know we even got visitors tonight. But anyway, my wife and I and our five kids went to China, communist China, in 1998, and so we've been there for about 13 years. And for those of you that haven't heard about China before, basically China is not open to missionaries. You have to go in under some other way. And so we went in as educators. And we've been involved in education since that time. And The ministry in China has to be an underground ministry. It's illegal to do an open ministry. Brother Dave talked about going down to Purdue to pass out tracts and do some street preaching, and that's impossible to do in China. In fact, it's impossible to have church out in the open like we're having here tonight. You have to have it in secret. We call it an underground ministry, an underground church. And, of course, kids always like that because they think, ooh, it's down in the caves, you know. But it just simply means it's in secret. We have a building over there that our church is in. It's a five-story building. And before you think, wow, a five-story building, it's about 2,500 square feet in five floors. Okay, so it's just how they do it in China. And our church is on the fifth floor of that building. And in that building, we have windows. We put styrofoam in those windows. In the past, I've told you and I've told others that, you know, we have to sing real soft, and we can't. We got tired of doing that. We would come to America and we'd hear churches lifting up their voices, and I thought, this is not good. And so we were looking for better insulation for our windows. We used to have 2-inch styrofoam. So a guy that works with us went out and found 4-inch styrofoam. And then we have theater curtains hung that are double hung on the windows. And so we now, inside our little room there, can sing as loud as we want to, and they can't hear us outside. So that's really nice. So we enjoy being able to sing whatever we want to, whenever we want to. So our church is up there on the fifth floor, and I'll have you pray with us about the church itself. We've outgrown the building that we're in, okay? Now, the building is, you know, the building's about one-third of the size of the platform here, but we've outgrown it. We're running 40 in there, and so we need to do something. And the problem is if we go out into a bigger building, then it's going to be a greater exposure to the communist government. And we have known of churches. I know personally of a man whose church reached 60, and they kicked him out of the country. I've heard of another man whose church reached 40, and it was a big enough blip on the Chinese radar that they kicked him out of the country. And that's where we're at this point. And so we're asking God to give us wisdom on what to do in that situation, whether we try to divide the church into two separate groups that meet at separate times, or move into a bigger building and the exposure that gives us. But anyway, God's been good to us. We've seen people saved and baptized consistently for the last 2 years probably. Just before we left, the Sunday before we left, we had three people saved and had one young man baptized. And we've seen some fruit from around the world. In June, we saw a young man from Ghana, Africa, saved. And he's been coming to church. He got baptized after that, and he's been coming to church since that time. And we as whites are very unusual in China. But a black man, and people from Ghana are very black, and he's even more unusual. And our church folk really like him. They think he's really unique, and he likes the folks. We've got an unusual place. In China, the system is very much a caste system. What I mean by that is the poor people don't mix with the non-poor people. You have two types of people, and they just don't mix. But in our church, they do. In our church, we have business people who hang out with villagers, and it's wonderful to see what Christ will do, the peace and the fellowship that Christians can have in Christ. And so that's really exciting. Now, most of you will remember the village ministry that we've got, and that has continued to grow. Basically, we have a church in the city, and we have a church in the village. I pastor the one in the city until I can find a Chinese man to take it. And then the one in the village is pastored by a man in that village. And it runs probably about 42, about 40 also. But they can grow as much as they want to because they're up on top of a hill and the Chinese government doesn't really care about them. And so we're praying that God will allow them to grow more, and that God will allow them to grow. Now, part of the problem for growth in China is that they don't have a pure Bible, the Bible that the government has pushed on the people is basically an NIV, a Chinese NIV Bible, which is gutless. You know, it's like taking a car that's supposed to have a V8 in it and putting a four-cylinder in it. It just doesn't work worth a hoot. You know, it doesn't got any power. It just can't get you where you want to go. And so we've been praying that God would allow us to have a Bible. About 3 years ago, we started corresponding with Dr. Gail Ripplinger about a Chinese Bible, and she had been doing some research. She found two Bibles. One is called the Morrison Bible, which comes from, it was written somewhere around 1820 in Chinese, and it's a fairly accurate Bible. But the language in China has changed so much that the Morrison Bible is very, very difficult for Chinese people to read. The other one is the Sharashevsky Bible, which was written about 1870, and also seems like a very good Bible, very close to the King James. And we have the Sharashevsky Bible that we have the New Testament. The Sharashevsky Bible is the New Testament. And what we're going to do with Dr. Ripplinger's group is to get that Bible into some sort of a printed format and start using it in our church and start going through it verse by verse and just finding out where there may be problems. There are a few problems in it that we know about, but so far they're related to the changing language. Some of the things that the King James has gone through where some of the words used in 1611 were changed in the years following that just to be clear understood by the population. And so we're going to be going through that process and working closely with Dr. Ripplinger's group, and then we're going to be also taking the Morrison Bible for the Old Testament and doing the same thing with it. We need your prayer. Okay, anytime... We have God's perfect word. Okay, this is God's perfect word. The KJV is God's perfect word. We don't have it in China. Okay, when these guys wrote this Bible, when they translated this, to read through that and learn what they went through, and I know you've studied it, was incredible. You know, they prayed about it every day. And as we go through this, I'm going to have some of the ladies from our group that'll be working on doing some of the typing on this, and we're going to start the day off with devotions and with praying that God would use them and that God would help us make the right decisions. What I'm trying to say to you is we're afraid to do what we're going to need to do because the people in China need a better Bible than what they've got. So please pray with us about that. And Brother Dave mentioned that Dr. Ripplinger is very, very sick. She had a heart cath done today, and I haven't heard the results of that, but she actually had some concern about coming through that. And so I haven't heard the results of that, but pray about that. Her group, whether she's here or not, and she wrote me earlier this week and said, if I'm not here next week, okay, this is who you need to be working with. Okay. And so we will be working with her group, but one of her burdens was to get a Bible into Chinese for 2 billion people around the world. And so pray with us about that, and we're really excited about that. Anything else?
Explain the problem you have, the wording the right to the left, left to right, and then what's
God's great to do? Oh, okay. There are multiple problems involved with doing this Bible, moving this Bible into usable text in Chinese. I oversimplified it. It's not like English where you open it up and you read it. When Chairman Mao Zedong came into China, he changed a lot of things. One of the things he changed was the written language. Okay, they had characters at that point, and he changed them all. He made an entirely new character system for them called simplified characters. And so since 1950, when he came into power, everybody since that time has learned the simplified characters, but not the older, which are called the traditional characters. Okay, these Bibles that I'm talking about were written in the older traditional characters. Not only that, they were written in the older format, which is, and you've probably seen it or heard about it, but it's right to left, top to bottom. So when you open, you know, the cover of the Bible is on this side. You start here. You open the Bible, and you read columns. You read down like this across the page. Okay. Well, the current population of China doesn't know how to do that. It's something that is for the older generation. The newer generation doesn't know how to do that. So not only do they not know how to read it, they don't know how to recognize the characters that it's written in. And so what we have to do is we have to take those characters one by one and type them in. Okay, and that's where mistakes can be made that I don't want to be made, and that's where we need God's help as we type these in character by character, to get God's word into a new usable format in the simplified characters of the language. What was the other thing? So we want to do this. We, as I've preached over there for 13 years, it is extremely frustrating when you're preaching on you know, something to do with the Lord, and as I'm preaching away, I have a translator over here. She'll say, "Mr. T, the Chinese Bible doesn't say that." And I'll say, "It doesn't say that?" And she'll say, "Yeah, it's not in there." And so I have to back up and I have to explain to the folks, you know, that my English Bible is better than their Chinese Bible. I can't really do that very well. And so I do, but I try to make that as soft of a blow as possible for them, you know. And the truth is, China had a good Bible. God gave them a good Bible 100 years ago. And they didn't want to use it, or the government didn't want to use it. The governments at that time didn't want to use it. They threw it away. They got rid of it. They came up with what's called the Chinese Union Version, which is an NIV. And so Satan was able to infiltrate into the Chinese society and get rid of the good Bibles and come up with a bad Bible. Now, the truth is that's exactly what they're doing in America. Okay, how many of you have been into a Bible bookstore lately and tried to find a King James Bible? It's exactly what's happening here. You know, many Bible bookstores, you have to special order a King James because they're just not in there anymore. And so Satan's trying to do it here. And because of Gail Ripplinger and Peter Ruckman and guys like that, he's having a much more difficult time here. He did it in China, and we're trying to undo what he did. And so pray with us about that. Now, we want to be able to print the Bible. And again, we're in a communist country that controls everything we do, and most of what we do is illegal. Okay? And so we have a big copy machine. And so we can print off Bibles on the copy machine. But if we did, this would be the size of the New Testament. Okay? The whole Bible would be about that big. And so we want to be able to actually have a press that we can run off Bible on the onion skin paper and come up with a Bible that's nicely bound and is small enough that we can get it into the hands of the people. Our home church in Port Orchard, Washington, the pastor's son-in-law started a printing ministry years ago. And I was talking to him about this problem. I said, "Scott, If we get a place, can you come over? You know, if we can somehow get a printing press, will you come over and teach us how to use it?" And he said, "Well, I can do one better." He said, "What I can do is if you get a place and you find a machine shop that will work with you, I can come over and build you a printing press from raw materials." And so we're praying that God would allow us to do that, so that we could print the Bibles as we get them ready to go. We would start, of course, with a John and Romans. We would expand to a New Testament as we were able to do so. And then, Lord willing, within a couple years, we'll be able to be printing the entire Bible that's a combination of these two texts that I told you about. But that's just one of the things we're doing over there, and we're really, really excited about it. And we ask that you'd pray with us about it.
Hi.
Okay. Shelly, our middle daughter, most of you know Shelly. Shelly's had some struggles in her past, and recently one of her struggles was just letting God have control. You know, that's a struggle we all have. You know, you say, "Oh yeah, I'm surrendered," but then you don't actually surrender. Okay, you keep part of yourself back. Well, that's where she's been. She's wanted to control parts of her. She hasn't wanted to really give it all to the Lord. And so she's been struggling with that for a couple years now. This spring it was coming to a head, and she really wanted to do something. And she knew God wanted her to do one thing, but she wanted to do something else. And so she's struggling with this thing about, do I really give in and let God take my whole life and just give myself to him? Okay? which could mean, you know, never getting married, which could mean, you know, never getting to do the things that I want to do. She wants to get a diver certification. You know, I'm just giving you an example. You know, well, if I give myself over to the Lord, maybe I will never be able to dive. And she wants to dive, and so she was struggling with this. So finally this summer, she decided to give over to the Lord. And what that meant, we've been working with the village. The village is 5 hours away from our house. The villagers have to drive. They have to take buses 5 hours this way, or I have to drive 5 hours that way to get together for training. And it makes training very difficult. We're only doing it about once a month. And so this past spring, I started praying about that. And there's a little town in between, right in the middle. And so I just out of curiosity, I went to this town and I priced apartments. I thought, well, if I could just rent an apartment there, you know, full time, that would be a place where I could come halfway, they could come halfway, and we could get together twice as often. Okay? And so I thought, well, if the apartment is cheap enough, I could do that. So I went and I found an apartment about a 1,200 square foot apartment. Okay, and I asked the price on it, and the price is about $75 a month. Okay, and I said, well, praise the Lord, that'll work. That'll work. And so we started renting that in June. Okay, and so we will be having classes there at least twice a month, and I'm hoping we can have them weekly. But as Shelley's trying to decide what she wants to do, we learn about a group of Chinese minority students that are in this village that want full-time teaching in the Bible. And so Shelley's thinking, should I go there and take on this ministry? And so that was her struggle. You know, do I go here, do what I want to do? Do I go here and do what God wants to do? She finally decided to do what God wants her to do. And it's really tough. Okay? And we're, of course, encouraging her, you know. But what I want to explain to you is ever since she made that decision, okay, God has been richly blessing her. Okay? I want you real quick. I didn't come up to give you a verse, but I'm going to give you one. Turn to Ephesians. It's one of the... This is one of the most exciting verses in the Bible. Ephesians 3, and verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Okay? God is able to do so much more than what we think. God is able to do so much more than even what we want if we will just surrender to him and let him take control. That's what Shelley did. So I drove her to this town. She was looking for an apartment. Now, right across from the apartment I rented was another apartment, just like it, same price. But the apartment I'm in is ugly. It's utilitarian. It's a nice school. It's not a nice place to live. Okay, it's a wonderful place, really, for me to have Bible classes with the villagers. It's ideally set up for that. It's not ideally set up for living. So as we're going, Shelley has in mind what she would like. Okay, she would like an apartment that is got a nice view out the window. Okay. She would like an apartment that's not like most Chinese apartments, which are 6 inches apart. Okay, got an apartment here, and then you come over, you got an apartment here, and you know, it's every apartment is 6 inches apart. You open your window, and there's an apartment 6 inches away. She didn't want that, and so she was asking, Lord, if it's possible. You're in control, but if it's possible, could I have an apartment that's got a view that's not, you know, right next to another apartment? Could I have one where I could have a dog? Because she's going to be there by herself. You know, could I have one where I could have a dog that could be a companion and so on and so forth. She made these little ideas of what she could do. And so we went to the little town and talked to the realty people, and they said, there's really no apartments available right now. And so we looked at a couple, and they were worse than the one where our school is at. And so she said, well, Dad, it's okay. It's okay. I'll just take the one next to your apartment because that's what God wants me to have. And she was totally okay with it. She had given herself over to what God wanted for her. And so we took one more turn, and we're driving along the river. Okay, nice little park, river over there. And there was a sign in a window, and so we thought, well, we'll just check it out. So we went over, and there was an apartment there. Very cute little apartment. Looks out on the river, and on the far side of the river are the mountains. Okay, between her and the river is a park, a dog run, all that sort of stuff. And it's cheaper. She pays $50 a month. Okay? Now what I'm telling you is when you will finally give over to the Lord, He will do above and beyond what you can imagine. The challenge is giving over to Him, giving your life to Him to do what He wants to do with you. People struggle all their lives. Some people never get the victory there. Some people never get there. And you pass up the wonderful, rich blessings that God wants to pour on you because you're just not willing to jump in and let Him take control. So I'd challenge you to learn a lesson from Shelley. Okay. 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 This is a little town. This is a little town in China. It's only 400,000 people.
She will be the only white person in that town. The only one.
Okay. She will be teaching English classes. We will be starting a school there. And she'll be teaching English classes to grade school students. But in that town, we have 28 minority Bible students, ages 13 through 18, probably. We have one younger than that, don't we? Okay, 13 through 18? Okay. Okay. China has 56 different kinds of people. Okay. In America, we had, I think, 28 different distinct Native American groups. Okay, that's China. China has 56 distinct different kinds of people. Now, 90% of the people are Han Chinese, H-A-N. But 10% of 1.5 billion is a pretty big number. Okay. And so there are 150 million, half the size of America, 150 million people that are divided into these 55 ethnic groups. Okay, and so in this little town, we have 28 students from three of these minority groups. The Miao group, okay, just like the cat's meow. It's not spelled the same way, but it's pronounced the exact same way. The Miao group. We have the Lisu group. Okay, we've talked to you in the past about a guy by the name of James Fraser. He was a preacher boy of Hudson Taylor, but he came into our province 100 years ago and went to the Lisu people and lived and died there and had a wonderful ministry. Okay, so we have students from the Lisu minority, and we have students from the Yi minority. And I don't know anything special about the Yis, except we have some Yis who work for us. Okay, and then we have, when we went into this city, I was looking at apartments with the preacher from the village 5 hours away. And he said, well, let's go over and let's visit my friend over here. Maybe he can help us. So we went over and he introduced me to this guy by the name of Mr. Wong. Okay, we have Mr. Zhang, Mr. Wong, Mr. Young. Fun to have these names. Anyway, Mr. Young told me about Mr. Wong, and we went and we visited Mr. Wong. Well, come to find out, Mr. Wong was a preacher. He's been preaching for about 15 years in China. And when he met me, he said, "Can you help me learn the Bible?" This guy's a preacher who's been preaching for 15 years. He says, "I would like to study the Bible from you." And so I said, "Well, you know, China's got some weird ideas, some weird doctrines." He said, "I know. I want you to tell me what those are so I won't do them anymore." You know, and I said, "Well, you know, your Bible is not perfect." And he said, "I know. Can you tell me what's wrong with it?" Okay, and he said, "Not only me, but I have about 10 or 15 pastors that I teach. Would you teach them?" So Shelley's going to be working with 28 or so students while I work with 10 or 15 pastors of the minority people. And they want to learn. They want to learn what doctrine they're teaching that's wrong. I mean, they're sincere. You know, they practice tongues, but the only reason they do it is because they don't know any better. And you tell them that's not in the Bible, they'll say, "Really? Well, I shouldn't be doing that then, should I?" Okay? It's a big different attitude than what we have in the States. Yes, sir. When
they all literally look alike?
They all look alike. When, well, let me give you an example. Let me give you an example. Okay, come up here. Come up here, and Dave, come up here.
There's not going to be this much difference.
Okay. Okay. If you looked at us,
dirty pants.
If you looked at us, would you say we look alike? Yes. Bad examples.
Bad eyes.
Okay. We look different, right?
Yeah.
Well, to the Chinese people, we don't at all. If they saw the three of us, 5 minutes later, they couldn't tell us apart. Because in their eyes, we look exactly alike. Okay. When I stood in front of my first class, 50 students, 50 high school students, I thought, "I'm never going to be able to do this. They're all the same." You know? But we've been there 13 years. And we can see a distinct difference in all of them. Okay? And my kids can tell the difference between, you know, the minority groups. They can tell the difference between Chinese and Korean and Japanese and Thai. And, you know, Janet and I can't necessarily see the differences as much. But we can, you know, but it's something that you have to learn, because when you go over there, they all look the same. And so if you went over, your question was, could I tell the difference? No, you couldn't.
And like, do the Miao know that the Hung Chung, whatever, are different?
Yes.
But they can see.
Yes.
They can see that the what do you call it again? The minorities.
Yes. Now, I'll just give you a tidbit here of information. The Miao people, the Yi people, the Lisu people are all up on the high mountaintops. Okay, when you see the terraced farming, you know, of China, that's the minority people. You say, "Well, why do they do that? Do they like that?" No, they don't. Okay, 100 years ago, they were all in the nice valleys. They had the nice lands. And the Han Chinese invaded, and they fled for their lives into the mountains. And the Han took over all the lower lands, and they had no choice but to live up there. Okay, and that's where they live today. Yeah. This village that we go to is 5 hours from Kunming. Okay, it's 5 hours from the big city. It's only 2 hours from the little city, the 400,000. Okay. But it's really out in the country. It's way out there. It's mountains. The mountains are 10,000 feet or so. They're forested. They're covered. Okay. I was walking up this mountain, because at that time the village didn't have a road. I was walking up this mountain through forest. There's nothing. And so I'm looking around. I'm hoping to see a rabbit or a squirrel or something. And I asked the Chinese guy, Mr. Yang. I said, Where are the animals? And he said, "There aren't any." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, we don't have any animals. And I said, well, there were at some point. He said, yeah, about 20 years ago, there were animals. I said, well, what happened to them? He said, we ate them all. Now, you know, that's funny, but what happened at that time was what was called the Cultural Revolution. Okay, Mao Zedong said, we are going to purge our society of all Western influence, of all capitalistic influence. You know, the landlords are now going to be the servants, and the kids are going to be the landlords. And he turned the society upside down. Okay, and people had to kill the animals to survive. They wouldn't have lived if they wouldn't have done it. But if you go through the forests of China, you're not going to find a deer. They just don't. They're not there. They're not there. It's a different place. Different place. Yes? Yeah. 55 different groups of people, they all have different traditional dress. And the dress is normally very beautiful. Okay? They for the most part, they're all very talented seamstresses, and they have very beautiful clothing. The Miao people, for example, often have a black skirt with pink in it, or a pink skirt. They do things with their hair. The Miao people we know more about than the other groups. Okay, if you're a Miao person, first of all, the ladies grow their hair long, and it's black. Okay, but if you're married, okay, each morning you roll it up and you roll it into a bun on your head, and that shows that you're married. If you're single, you can't wear your hair like that. You wear your hair down, and that's how you know by looking at them whether they're single or married. Okay, and there's all sorts of stuff like that in their cultures. And China, the government of China is trying to preserve some of that. Now they're destroying it as quickly as they're trying to preserve it, but they make a show of trying to preserve it at least. And the average Chinese minority educated student is going to know about 5 languages. Okay, they're going to know their minority language. They're going to know their city language, and then their state language, and then the country language, which is, of course, Mandarin Chinese, and then English. They're taught English from the time that they're in grade school. Okay, so the average student is going to know about 5 languages. Yes? Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. We don't. We wave. No. The first time I preached up there, okay, I preached for about an hour and a half through an interpreter. So I was teaching in English. He was translating into Mandarin Chinese. Okay. Well, I'm coming to that. Okay, when I finished, he re-preached, he retaught my message in Miao. Okay, because the folks, the older generation, don't know Mandarin; they only know their minority language. The younger generation know Mandarin and their minority language, Miao, in this case. But so in that case, we went through 3. We tried it. We've tried it both ways. I've taught it in English. Someone has translated into Chinese, and then someone translates it into Miao. And then I teach another phrase in English, and it, you know. But it doesn't work so well that way. It just is too difficult. So, yes. Yes. That's going to be 100% illegal. Okay. The government has had to comply with a lot of international pressure for freedom of religion. Okay? And so a number of years ago, they said, we're going to let our people have Bibles. And so the government actually prints Bibles. Now, people have to buy them, and they take their names when they buy them. But they print Bibles, and the people can freely buy a Bible, but only through the government church, okay, but only that one Bible. Okay, and it's because the government knows that that Bible is corrupt. It's not powerful. What they fear about Christianity is the power that Christianity has to change lives. And what they fear about a true Bible is the power that the KJV has to change lives. Folks, the NIV doesn't have the power that this does. Okay? This guy operates on 4D cells. The NIV's got just two little triple A's, you know? It doesn't have the same power. And the government knows that. They're not afraid of that Bible. They would be afraid of a true Bible. And so what we do will be illegal. And that's why it's got to be, we've got to be careful how we do it. That's why we're talking about having Scott Gregson come in and assemble a printing press from raw materials. Okay, over here. Yes. Absolutely. Now, the Miao Bible, actually, the Miao has a New Testament, and the New Testament is better than the Chinese New Testament. So they've actually got a better New Testament. And that may be true of other minority groups, because the government, for the most part, except for the last 10 years, has totally ignored the minority people. So if they got a good Bible back in the 1800s, they would probably still have it, because the government has totally ignored them, hasn't cared about them. Okay? Yes, sir? There are five ways, if I can remember. Okay, one is to pay your way in. Money will do anything in China. Okay, if you have a lot of money, you can go over and buy a visa. Okay, you just can. Now, it's going to cost you a lot of money. It's probably going to cost you at least, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 a year for your visa to do that. Okay. The second thing is to go in as a tourist. As a tourist, you're limited to a 30-day, sometimes a 60-day visa. The third way is as a student. Okay, you can go in and learn the Chinese language, or even minority languages. An American could go over and become a student of the Miao language. Okay, and you can get a visa as a student. The fourth way is as a teacher. Okay, as a teacher, you do have to have a bachelor's degree or an associate's degree in education with some sort of TEFL certification or something to back it up. Okay, teaching of English as a foreign language. Okay, and then the fifth way is as a business person. Okay, and we're trying to convert to that right now. God's given us some opportunities over there, and we hope to be successful with a coffee shop in the future, and get our visa through that instead of through the school. Because as a teacher, we have some limitations placed on us by the government. And so we're hoping to avoid that. But to directly answer your question, you have to have a bachelor's degree at least, okay? Or an associate's with certification to back it up. A master's degree, regardless, a bachelor's, master's, regardless of what it's in, will get you in the door with no problem. Okay, they like to show off the degrees. And if you have a doctor's degree in sanitation, they would be delighted to have you. Okay, because they would just show the doctor's degree, you know. Okay, yes. That's a very good question, and one that I don't have an answer to right now. We haven't even started thinking about that. That's a good question, though. It's something we got to think about. Yes?
How do you
Okay, how do you witness to them? It is more difficult because you can't go door to door, you can't go street preaching, you can't pass out tracts. Now we have passed out tracts, but it's not the way that you do it here. Okay, what we've done is we've taken selected chick tracts, and we've taken 15 different chick tracts that basically teach a good amount of doctrine within those tracts. And then we slip in a Gospel of John and put it into a sealable plastic bag. Okay, then we make up a bunch of those and we'll go on a road trip. And so as we're passing through little villages, we'll just toss them out the window as we pass through and just keep going. Okay, and they're in a plastic bag, so and Chinese people are curious. And I have no doubt that 90% of the ones that we've passed out have been picked up and read. We have no way of knowing until we get to heaven what God does with that. Chinese people have a lot more freedom than we do. Okay? Even though they can't tell us apart, they can tell us. Okay? You know, for one thing, most of them come to hear on me. Okay? So I'm head and shoulders above many of the Chinese people. But with my white hair and white skin, I stand out. You know, they can see me a mile away, literally. And so if I'm out there passing out tracts, I'm a target. But if a little Chinese lady's out there passing out tracts, she's not. Okay, she has a lot more freedom than I do. And so I've explained to our church the need to be cautious and careful, but the need to be bold. That's this.
So your tracts have your church address?
No. No, 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 no.
I mean, how would they know if they have to?
They don't.
They don't.
It's word of mouth.
Your church are from word of mouth, right?
Yes, yes. I've taught our people. I've taken time in a church meeting to say, okay, we have some new people here now, and I just need to go over some logistics with you. Yeah, I want you to understand that the Chinese government says, it's written, it's a law, that if you're studying with me, you're doing a criminal act. Okay? You can be arrested for what you're doing tonight. Okay? If you want to leave, it's okay, go ahead. Okay? Go ahead, go. Okay? But if not, I want you to know the situation. It's illegal to study the Bible with me. I can't tell you why, but I can tell you it's true. Okay? And so if you come to church here, you need to understand that you need to be careful. Every time we study, you're going to hear me speak some English. Okay? When you leave here, if someone questions you, what were you doing there? Just tell them I was listening to the teacher talking English, trying to pick up some of that English. I'm trying to study English. Okay? If you want your friends to come, then what I want you to do is I want you to tell them about the Lord first. Okay? I want you to teach them about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to teach you how to do that. And then you show them how to become a Christian. You train them, and when you are confident that they're ready, you can bring them to church. Okay. But our church is not open to the public. We don't advertise it. We don't have a name. We don't do anything. We have nothing with that name on it. I like the name of our church. It's Kunming Grace Baptist, which is KGB. You know, KGB. KGB. Okay. I think that's sort of cool. But we don't put that on anything. For the reasons I've just explained. Yes?
I can tell you that. Okay. You know, you're wondering where 40 people come. They come one at a time. We have a lady in our church that we started, we met her relative in Canada. Okay? She was in Kunming. Her relative in Canada said, can she come? Okay? And we...
The pastor of the church in Canada contacted me and said, I have a lady in our church that has a sister in your city that would like to come to your church. Can we get you guys together? By the way, that friend, which if you've read our newsletters over the years, that's Cammie. Cammie had to leave because she got married. She was basically forced into a marriage with an unsaved guy. We prayed for him. She led a Christian life in front of him. He got saved. She is now attending church in another state, another province. And she was teaching Sunday school until she got pregnant. And she's not doing that now because she's expecting her first child. But so one of the, you know, because of this student who was saved through planting seed in the classroom, okay, she got saved. She came to work for us. She invited her friend. She got saved. She went back to another, and she's working in another church, in another state, teaching Sunday school, you know, and that's how it works, is word of mouth. Yes, we witness a lot in our teaching.
Like Shelley will be able to do that too with the kids.
Yes, we.
If they start asking about your Bible, you can tell them about your Bible.
We do a lot of things for that purpose. We have an English training school that we run, okay. And Shelley and Joshua and Jessica teach in that school, and Jessica teaches preschool kids, okay. But we teach them Silent Night. And we tell them what Silent Night is all about. You know, we're planting seed at that age. We can't go any farther than just planting that seed, but we can do it. Janet is the one teaching the university right now, and she'll have students ask her about the Bible, and she'll answer the questions because they asked. Now, for her to go into the classroom with a Bible would be illegal, and she'd get in trouble. But for the students to say, "Mrs. Trimbley, we'd really like to talk about the Bible," and her bring it in to answer those questions, that would not be a problem at all. Okay, and they consider it teaching American culture. And we've even heard, we haven't experienced this ourselves personally, but we've heard of teachers who have told students, "Go ask the foreigner to teach you the Bible. You'll get free English." And, you know, those people have no idea the power of God's word, which we're very happy about. Okay. How long you want to go? Keep going? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Has it ever crossed our mind that someone could turn us in? Only once or twice a day, probably. You know, since we've been there, that's been on our mind. It really has. And we ask churches to pray for our protection, not only ours, but the protection of the people who are working in China, God's work in China, because it is a real issue. Okay, but we have seen God work. The head of our mission board, a guy by the name of Dave Reese, was smuggling Bibles. He had a suitcase. And he had a false bottom in the suitcase, and he had it full of Bibles. Okay, and he went through customs, and they stopped him. They flagged him. And so they brought him over and said, "Open it up." And he opened it up. The guy went right to the false bottom. He opened it up. He looked in there. And he said, "Yeah, nothing there." You know, kept going. Now, we don't know. He might have been a Christian. or God might have blinded him, you know, and he thought there were little bunny rabbits in there or something. I don't know. But God does protect the work there. There's no way we would still be there if God wasn't in it and God wasn't protecting the work. But yes, you know, I told you our church is at 40. When we got to 25, Shelley came to me and she said, "Dad, do you think we're getting too big?" We got to 30, Shelley said, "Dad, do you think we're getting too big?" You know, she doesn't even ask me anymore. Now I say, "Shelley, do you think we're getting too big?" We do worry about it. Yeah. Back here. We're able to move as people living there freely. We don't have freedom to go out and do anything on the street as far as the gospel. I've known of three house churches in Kunming that have been closed down. That the people working there were sent out of country, and some of the Chinese people were arrested. Okay. Now, all three of them were careless, and we're trying real hard not to be careless. Okay, another wonderful story is that I didn't talk about our kids, but David married a Chinese girl, who, by the way, we think she's a gem. We are so excited to have her as our daughter-in-law, and Maggie is just a blessing. Okay. Where was I going with that? You have no idea, huh? I don't know, but both of those are good. Anyway, David and Maggie got married. I'm going to go with Jesse's. And we had the wedding, and the wedding was in a public area. We had about half of the people were our church, and half of the people were visitors. We had communist officials there. We had businessmen there. We had businesswomen there. We had people from multiple countries there. And I was able to very freely give them the entire gospel. Okay? In a public, open forum. But it's because it was a Christian wedding, and they accepted that. So there are times when we can do stuff like that. But for the most part, we can't, and churches will get in trouble. They'll get shut down, and so we are very careful to mind our P's and Q's, and try not to be, you know, a blip on their radar screen. Maggie's concern. Maggie got saved three years ago. Okay, 3 years ago. And as she began to grow in the Lord, and then she met Dave and they wanted to get married, she wanted a Christian wedding. She had no idea what a Christian wedding was. She knew what a Chinese wedding was, and she knew she didn't want that. So she said, "I want a Christian wedding." Okay, what is it? And so we tried. Can you believe it's hard to find a Christian wedding on TV? Well, yeah, you might believe that. But, I mean, you know, you go and even try to find a movie that has a good, clean Christian wedding. It's very difficult. So we really couldn't show her what a Christian wedding was like. We said, "Trust us, you'll like it," you know. And so it was a very beautiful garden wedding. There was rain forecasted. It was expected rain. We were praying for no rain. There was no rain that morning, and then it rained later that afternoon. God kept it clear for the wedding. They didn't have a backup plan. They didn't have a plan B. If it would have rained, we would have been out there in the rain, you know, because there wasn't a plan B. But God held it off, and we had a beautiful wedding, a wonderful testimony of all of this stuff. And I'm sorry. Okay. What Maggie wanted was to avoid the Chinese wedding. Okay, a Chinese wedding is very similar to a game show, or even more similar for those of you from the last generation. Okay, to a roast. Okay, you remember those Dean Martin roasts and such? Okay, it's very similar to that, where the purpose is to totally humiliate the bride and groom in front of all their family and friends. Okay, they have a stage. Up on the stage is an MC. Okay, and he does everything. He's trained to make fun of the bride and groom in every way possible. Okay, and he absolutely just tears them apart in front of their friends. That's the Chinese wedding. There is no vows, there is no ceremony, there is no sacred aspect to it whatsoever. It's a roast. It's humiliation. After that, the tradition is there will be about 30 tables with their friends set up, usually about 300 people. The bride and groom have to leave the humiliation, come to each table and drink a toast of hard alcohol with each of 30 tables. Okay? Now, if there are friends, if a table is full of friends, then that table has the right to mix a suicide cocktail for them. So what they take is a little bit of liquid from every dish, including the alcohol, the Sprite, the soy sauce, whatever. They put it all in a cup, and then the groom has to drink that. Okay? By the time they finish 30 tables, they're usually on their way to the hospital almost. You know, they're worthless. And Dave and Maggie would not have done that. Okay, they would have gone from table to table. They wouldn't have taken the alcohol, but they would have drank Sprite or something like that. And Maggie just didn't want to do that. And so they're praying, God, don't make my dad, Maggie's dad, make us do this. Okay. So Shelley was rushing to get the Christian wedding on video so that we could take a DVD up to her home, which is in the north of China, for the Chinese wedding. Because she had to have a Chinese wedding. But what they're praying is somehow God will work it out that we don't have to go through that. So we're in her hometown. We're in a hotel room with 300 people. Okay, and Dave and Maggie get up and say, we have this video of our Christian wedding we'd like for you to watch. Okay? So we put it up. It goes through. Shelley has done a good job of putting Chinese subtitles on it, all that, so everybody can read it. So we are witnessing to 300 people. At the end of the video, the father stands up and says, well, that's good enough. We'll just stop with that. Okay? So he said, now you guys, I know you don't drink alcohol, and so we're going to take you out of this room because we're all going to drink alcohol, and we're going to take you downstairs. Okay? So they took us down to the VIP room, which was on the first floor. Okay? So they took us in. As we're walking into this room, I'm looking at the number of the room. Okay? It's a very lucky number in Chinese. It's the number 6. Okay? But it's lucky, and so they put it 3 times up there to show the luck. So literally, we're walking into 666 for our wedding meal, which we just got the biggest kick out of. That was really funny. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Well, thank you for your time. Okay.
Good. We didn't plan for that, but that's a blessing. Josh is wanting to go to Japan and learn that language. He can read and write, right, Chinese, and did very well in the test, and now he wants to go to Japan. Man, oh man. Okay, prayer requests. Anybody have some prayer requests? Obviously, let's put Gail Ripplinger on there to be praying for her. Anybody else have any prayer requests that you'd have? Christy?